Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Excellent job there by the Kansas City offense, Andre Rison and Rich Gannon.
Well, Pete Stojanovic into a slight wind. It'll be 54 yards approximately, maybe 55 as Aguiar lines it up. So a Herculean effort here by Stojanovic to win. 55, now they say 54 yards on the spot. It's up. It's high.
Break their hearts. Love that audio. I'm going to keep playing it all week long because I hate Denver. We ramp up. It's Denver week officially in full force. Week 11 is here, whether you like it or not. The Broncos and the Chiefs will play Sunday at 3:25. Good morning. Happy Wednesday from 96.5. The Fan, Bob Fesco, JT Noah, and Dusty Likens with you. What in the hell was Jay Binkley talking about last night?
Yeah, we come in this morning, and I we used to do this back in the day with the Vern text line, right? You come in, and you look at the text line, and you see what people were complaining about with the Royals from the night before. I think Binkley's got this one beat, though, Dusty. I mean, this is unbelievable when you look at the Jay Binkley text line, and they're talking about Frito Pie, picks you're not supposed to send each other.
Thank you very much.
And what was the other one that he had on there? Nacho cheese Doritos or something like that? Like, it was a bizarre night for Jay Binkley last night, huh?
Yep. Top text on the text line says chili cheese Fritos.
There you go.
Scroll down a little bit. Bush Light and Bink at night, baby.
Yeah, that's a combination.
Uh-huh. Bink, having another Coors Light. Cheers, boys.
Uh-huh.
And then LOL, no D picks on the text line. Noted. Checks out.
Yeah, gotta love what Bink was talking about. So we'll find out coming up at 6:45 what the hell was going on here last night on the airwaves. I was listening to Jay Binkley for a little bit last night as I was kind of driving around doing my thing, and listening to him kind of talk Chiefs, get ready for this game, get ready for college football. He was actually last night, Dusty, and I know you'll appreciate this. He was talking draft last night.
Oh.
You know, yeah, he's ready to go because New Character Concerns podcast drops this week, right? And so
today
he was talking about the draft and what he thinks that the Chiefs are going to potentially need and where they're going to go in the upcoming NFL draft that is in April. So,
yeah. Remember this.
Second down. Denver inside their one. Elway is under center. Now he pulls away again. His hands on his hips. He looks back at Gordon McConner, the referee, said, hey, what gives?
Again, I have asked the defense to help lower the crowd noise. Any further crowd noise problem will result in a charge timeout against Kansas City. Thank you for your cooperation.
You know, it's like, you know,
thank
why
you
poke the bear?
Yeah,
but why poke the bear in that situation if you're John Elway? Do you think people are going to quiet down in Kansas City when you go to the referee and complain it's too loud?
Because that's what John Elway could do.
Yeah, but he couldn't.
Was that guy.
He wasn't, though, in Kansas City. You can't get the crowd to shut up. And, of course, when you go and say the crowd's too loud, what is the crowd going to do? We're all there. We're all mob mentality, right? You get louder. You get yelling, screaming, fired up even more. And so it just got worse for John Elway. We've never seen anything, you know, like that ever since. So
it just got worse for Denver.
Yeah.
Dante Hall backing up to the 8-yard line. Dancing. Middlebrooks can't get him. Now he's back inside the 5 and finds a seam. He's gone. He's got the kick.
He's gone.
And that's more. Ladies
gentlemen, you are watching something that has never happened before in the National Football League. 7 returns for a touchdown in 10 games. Incredible.
Talk about a stat you won't ever see anymore.
Yeah, no
Seven
doubt.
Returns in 10 games, yeah. An NFL record.
I mean, that was crazy.
And then you had this.
35. Kelsey's in man on the drag. Here comes Von Miller. Oh, how did he pull that off? He got it to Hill, and they've got a first down.
Joe, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I mean, this guy is incredible. You know, there's many years ago they talked about Montana Magic in Kansas City. Look at this guy. Von Miller on his heels. He throws it left-handed any way possible.
I remember being at that game in Denver when he did that, and you heard the crowd go silent. Imagine being there and silencing a crowd like that. That was Patrick's fourth game as a starter that year.
And peak Von Miller.
Peak Von Miller. There's no question about it, because I remember before that game, Josh and I were tailgating with Brittany and Pat Sr. in the parking lot. Back in those days, nobody knew who they were, right? So they were just hanging out. They got invited by some Bronco fans, and so, you know, they showed up before the explosion of the Mahomes era really, really began. And that was like his fourth game. And we were out in Denver for that thing. And I'll never forget that crowd going, oh, my God, I can't believe what I just saw. And then they had an opportunity, Denver did, to win that game. And I forget who their quarterback was at the time. It was some guy who's selling insurance probably right now. And they had an opportunity to win it at the end, and they weren't able to do it. And that whole crowd just being silenced, realizing what they were watching at that moment in time was, oh, we're screwed for the next generation. I mean, that's how the Denver crowd felt that night leaving Mile High Stadium, and they've been pretty much, you know, right since. I mean, the Denver Broncos have not really accomplished a whole heck of a lot since Patrick Mahomes has taken over, but this game on Sunday is going to be the biggest one of them all. I mean, this is the biggest game for the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes against the Denver Broncos. We've not had one bigger than this one that's going to take place on Sunday, and so it's going to be a lot of fun out there, man. As the week gets longer and longer and we get closer and closer to that weekend, I'm getting more and more excited about this game because I know how big it is.
I'm sure growing up being a, you know, Giants fan, Cowboys were that team.
Yeah, Cowboys, right? Redskins, you know, always
all
good.
Of them, yeah. Always could win. Growing up here in Kansas City, for me at least, it was just always Denver. I think that's why I always hated Denver. Like, I still remember that, you know, getting told stories about that, you know, that game that always said the crowd was too loud. I still go back and watch highlights of the Monday night showdown of Montana versus Elway, which is still one of the greatest,
one of the greatest ever that
you'll ever watch. Yep. And I've been finding a lot of this. I'll give them credit on Red Tribe Cinema is on Twitter. They have all these videos. And yesterday I was watching the conclusion of the Stojanovic kick, and they interviewed his dad after the game, and his dad was sitting there, and he's like, you know, then they go to Pete Stojanovic, and he's talking about the kick. He's like, yeah, I didn't really know it was supposed to, I didn't know it was going to go in. I couldn't see over the offensive line, pulled it through a line. And then he's like, I looked at Louis Aguiar to give me the, you know, the definition if it went in or not. And he goes, I guess I knew when he started jumping on top of me that it went in. Because he's like, I knew I kicked it good. And I thought the greatest thing about the entire video that I forgot about was in that game in 97 against Denver that they would end up winning. I believe the final score was 24-22. They beat Denver in that game. They would end up losing to Denver in the playoffs later that year. But at that game was the game that Derek Thomas got his 100th sack.
Oh, wow.
And all the players were wearing hats that said sack number 100.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So when Stojanovic is doing his post-game interview in the press conference, he's got the hat on.
All right.
Where this guy just won the game, but it's like, but there's this guy named number 58 named Derek Thomas that got his 100th sack against John Elway, against the Denver Broncos, and you put all that into motion. And I was there last night, fellas. Like, I don't know if I was more stiff looking at old videos of Chiefs versus Denver or looking at the Northern Lights.
Yeah, the Northern Lights last night. I woke up this morning to a bunch of pics of everybody, you know, going out there last night. My friend Garrett lives up in the Northway, like in Liberty area.
Oh, he had a great view.
Shout out Garrett and the fire department, Casey Moe Fire Department. Love you guys. And so he sent us pics last night from up north, and I'm like, holy cow, I had no idea. Like, this was occurring right outside of our house. I hope it's back tonight.
It is.
It is back tonight. Because
you get one more shot.
What time do we need to be outside looking in the northern sky? Because those pictures that people are sending, and Michelle Bogowith, my friend, love her to death, has got him on Fox 4 this morning. She's showing the pictures of the Northern Lights, and I'm like, this is awesome, man. And we haven't been to the garage at this time this morning.
I showed you the picture that I took last night. That was literally from my front porch around 8, like 8 o'clock.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, get out there about between eight, 8:30. I mean, it'll go until about nine, mm-hmm. but if you get out there about 8:30, go to that park that's down the street from you, look up Northern Sky, turn the lights off, boom.
Yeah.
You'll get it.
I mean, that looks, it's not somebody emptying, you know, sewage into a drainage ditch and getting ready to light a cigarette or something like that. Nope. Right. Okay. Just making sure.
That's not the kryptonite glow from Superman either. You can go out there. Okay. And did you see it last night? Did you go out there and get some pics?
No.
Okay.
Not gonna lie.
Well done, JT. No. I did not.
Not into the sky, the space, the stars, all that sort of stuff?
Not really, but I saw some cool pics. I will say the pics were cool.
They were, but did we know this was happening? Like,
I saw something on the news about it, how it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to watch the news.
Got to watch the news. Yeah. I don't.
I didn't even watch the news. It was on Twitter. So okay. One of the news stations and said,
I blocked all them on Twitter.
That's smart. But my mom will send me like, on Facebook or something like the Fox weather and be like, watch out for the snow since
good
you're on
her.
Your own.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, mom's always, look, I get calls from my mother in New Jersey about the snow. Okay. Yeah. It just doesn't stop.
Like this weekend, my mom kept going, is your heat on? I'm like, yes, mom, it is on. We're
that's
ready
a mom.
To go.
If your mom wasn't doing that, then we'd have a problem. Right. And that's what moms do. That's what parents do. We worry the entire time about our children.
And so, hey, Dusty, talking about last couple games for Denver, the one game that comes to my mind that I think people slip minds of is Tyreek Hill's rookie year in Denver.
Yeah.
He had the three touchdowns, and the one that he bobbled at the one and rolled in without getting possession to go to overtime, and then the kick to end it. That one, I was at my grandpa's, and my mom called, like, it was like, I think it was like 9:30. She's like, hey, you know you got school tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, mom, Chiefs are still playing. There's still a chance to win. She goes, okay, I'll see you when you get home. But my grandpa's like, they'll be home, and they'll go to, I always went to bed late anyway, and so I was like, I got home, and it was like 11. I got up and ready to go to school, and my mom's like, well, did we win? I go, yeah, we won. Yeah. She goes, then it was worth it. I said, yeah, it was.
Yeah, hell yeah, it was worth it. And you know what? It would have been worth it had they lost because you were hanging out with grandpa.
Exactly,
so,
right.
You win either way.
No doubt.
You know, with that day.
It would just been a little, big win. That 5-minute drive home would have been just like, what are we going to talk about? We lost. Like,
right.
Silence
the whole way. No, that's what you do when you lose a game.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
It's like when we get on the bus after a loss, usually it's quiet for a little bit and then we're on to the next. But I mean, people are pissed. It's human emotion. And I just think it's so funny with these rivalries and how they are so generationally based though, man, because if you talk to people like older than me, it is all about the Oakland Raiders. It is all about that football team. That's the biggest rival to the Chiefs. And then you start to talk to, you know, to younger generations, and it's all about the Denver Broncos. The thing is, though, it's never going to be the Chargers. Yep. It never was Seattle. It never will be Seattle if they ever do realignment again or whatever and we end up back with them or anything like that. It's always going to be the Raiders, and it's always going to be the Broncos. And it's going to continue to be more so the Broncos because as the older people die, and I'm not trying to get morbid, not many of us will remember what were those incidents that took place that caused this Raider rivalry to be so big. And as you know, your generation, my generation, we get older, we'll be those guys talking about the Denver Bronco generation, and we will until the day we die. Unless the Raiders figure things out, because that's what makes a rivalry. And the reason why the Denver Bronco rivalry is so big for younger generations as opposed to people like 55 and older where it was the Raiders is because we could never beat Denver. It was always John Elway. It was always about beating them. Then they get Peyton Manning. Still can't beat Denver. I mean, even Vermeil said it one time. He goes, I can't win up there. You know, 5 years ago, I just can't figure it out. I can't win up there. And we're like, oh, my God. But that's what it is. You could never beat the team. And then that becomes your rival. That becomes the drug that drives you to be good at sports. And now here we are 10 years later, and the Denver Broncos are looking at us going, damn, we need to get in that same category as the Chiefs. So these both rivalries are great, but they're so determined by how old you are. It's crazy.
A year ago yesterday, this happened.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season. His left, so one of those misses a 60-yarder in the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Raboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated!
Unbelievable.
The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
It was awesome!
Blocked. Blocked.
And my favorite part, oh, they got lucky. They just got lucky. Like, oh,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, they didn't get lucky.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's like, oh, they just got lucky. No, like, no, they didn't.
No,
they weren't saying about that the Eagles game this year. Oh, that was a great game by the Eagles to block it. Great scheme. Well, that's exactly what the Chiefs did last year against the Broncos.
Yeah, it's all about the scheme, and it's all about Dave Tobe. And when people say that's lucky, I really kind of get resentful about it, because you're diminishing what these guys do all week to get these teams ready and prepared for the game, especially a guy like Dave Tobe, who's obviously, you know, one of the best who's ever done it, you know, at special teams. But that's the best regular season game I've ever been to, man. That was spectacular. It took me a week to get my voice back from that thing.
And the best part was Danon's laugh.
Yeah. Because what are you supposed to do at that point in time?
In that season, that's all you could do.
That's all you could
do. And we escaped another one. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about why I don't fear Denver, why it's a Bo Nix problem. But coming up next, Mahomes is going to win the MVP. Then Sunday is a must win, and he must show out for the Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it on a Wednesday here on 96.5 The Fan. That's right, we're halfway through the week already. Chiefs Broncos 325 on Sunday. This goes back to the text line on the 310. I took my brother-in-law from Guatemala to the block field goal game, his first professional sporting event ever.
Oh, what a great one.
That's the game you took Ben Maller to,
that's
right?
It,
his first ever trip to Kansas City. He's like, well, I guess I don't have to go back now, do I?
No.
Like, not to a game.
You checked all the boxes in that one, Ben. There's no reason to return, because you're never going to get an experience like that. Yeah, imagine that being your first Chiefs game, or really your first professional game ever that you get an opportunity to attend, and you think to yourself, man, everything else after this is kind of going to be a letdown no matter what I attend because of how great that game was. That's a great way to get indoctrinated, you know, into Chiefs Kingdom, into an American professional sports, because it was just a tremendous ending a year ago. I loved it so much.
No doubt. Chiefs are moving along. Again, if you go to your Vegas odds or your sports book, whatever you like, BetMGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, Underdog, Chiefs are still the favorites to win the Super Bowl according to the odds. I believe last I looked, they were plus 600, and I think the next team was the Bills or the Eagles or so at plus 650. I'll give you an updated odds real quick, because I think in this next topic, there are two things on this in this game. Mahomes currently sits at third best in odds for the MVP. Patrick Mahomes plus 500, Drake May plus 275, Matthew Stafford MVP leader right now at plus 260. You look at playoffs, or you look at whatever it may be, the number one seed right now, the favorite is the New England Patriots, followed by the Colts, the Broncos, the Bills, and then the Chiefs at plus 950. Super Bowl odds, the Rams and the Chiefs have the two best favorite odds at plus 600.
Yep.
So I look at this game, and I know that, you know, a lot of people don't care about individual awards, but I think if Patrick Mahomes is going to be your MVP this season, obviously he has the third best odds at plus 500, according to Vegas. Got to jump Drake May, got to jump Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, a big game against Seattle this weekend. We'll see what they do against that defense. If he does go out there and continue to be Matthew Stafford that we've seen this year, he'll stay right where he's at. Drake May, he's got a game tomorrow night against the Jets at home with those six slick uniforms that New England's wearing. We assume New England should take care of business against the Jets at home on a Thursday night. But again, We've seen primetime games before on Thursday night.
That's exactly right. Yep.
You stay away from those games. Yep. You stay away from the foreign games that are in Berlin or Ireland, all that stuff. I just tend to stay away from because I just don't know, short week or out of town, whatever it may be. But if Mahomes can go out there against Denver, against this defense, against an 8-2 team on the road and win and continue to get this offense back to where it was when they were going 30-30-30-30 and whatnot, then I think Mahomes will jump shot right back into the lead candidate for the MVP. And to be quite honest with you, you need Mahomes to be this kind of guy in this game. And we don't ask Mahomes to do a lot all the time. We don't ask him to go out there and be Mr. Mahomes or Mahomeboy or Showtime or whatever he may be. But this is a game in which you've had a bye week. Your team is 5-4. We've seen the talks of, like, we don't always like to see Patrick Mahomes going to full Superman, but he's only lost to Denver once in his career.
Mm-hmm. And that's when he had the flu.
Right. And he's going to play Denver this Sunday at 3:25, the biggest game on the docket for, I think, this entire week's slate of games. You could have an argument about Seattle and the Rams as well. But with the Chiefs playing Denver and Patrick Mahomes coming off the game that he had in Buffalo and Andy Reid as well, and coming off a bye, and we'll see what the offensive line will look like because they're back at practice today and they'll speak at noon.
Mm-hmm.
That you can hear right here on 96.5 The Fan. But you think about what Mahomes could do and what they could be at the end of this game, and if he is the culprit as to why the Chiefs did everything they could, because we've talked all week about how this defense can wreck this game for the Denver Broncos. Well, Patrick Mahomes could do the same thing as an offensive player against that defense, right? We talk about how Aiden Hutchinson can wreck a game, Max Crosby can wreck a game, T.J. Watt can wreck a game. Patrick Mahomes can do the same thing, and if he's going to be the MVP this year, this is an MVP moment type of game.
Well, it's a moving day for both of these teams. It's a statement game for both of these teams, and what I mean by that is if Denver wins and they move to 9-2, they've unseated the beast. I mean, there's no more talk about the Kansas City Chiefs winning the division if Denver goes out there and takes care of business on Sunday afternoon. It will be their division to lose ultimately, and it's a big day for the Chiefs too, because there's a lot of people like us included that still believe that this is the best team in the NFL from top to bottom and has the best opportunity to go out there and win a Super Bowl championship. But they have to start playing like that. Eventually, you have to take the games off of the paper and start executing them out on the field. And that's something that, look, quite frankly, for the first 9 games of this season, there's been times where they have done that. There's been times where they haven't done that. And so it is a big game, as big as it's been for both of these teams. I can't even tell you the last time it's been big for both of these teams at the level like it is for this one. I mean, I don't even know when it's been this. I mean, maybe it goes back to 94, you know, with Montana Magic up there at Mile High. I don't know when it's had this magnitude for both of these teams doing what they need to do. Maybe Andy Reid's first year where they were 9-0 and Denver was, you know, still with Peyton Manning and getting ready to win another Super Bowl and whatnot. It was a big game, you know, there. But this is a big game for a lot of reasons. This is a separation game. This is a game where Denver has the opportunity to say, we've slayed the beast. And the Kansas City Chiefs have an opportunity to say, hey, we're still here. You're not slaying any beasts. It was nice that you started your first 10 games 8-2, but now mom and dad have arrived back home and it's time to kick all the, you know, the looters out and go back to your homes and take your stuff with you, because this is still our division. And that's kind of what it needs to be for Kansas City. They need to go out there and they need to wreck Denver. And they need to go out there with that mindset of wrecking Denver and being able to put up point after point after point after point, because when they take their foot off the gas, we see what happens in Jacksonville, right? They take their foot off the gas, we see what happens in Buffalo. They've got to go out there and they've got to look at this game as one of the most important games, if not the most important regular season game, that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have ever had together, especially against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and you could take the shift to the defensive side, because you're not shy to express your feelings, as we all have done. This is a game where we'd like to see Chris Jones kind of show up, because this is a good offensive line for Denver. They might have top 3 offensive line, top 2 defensive line, and they're going to use that to their advantage, because obviously a team that we found out yesterday has punted more than any team in the NFL, yet they're 8-2.
Right.
Make it make sense, like 6-7.
Right.
It just doesn't add up, doesn't make sense. And you look at what Chris Jones could be in this week, right? He's seen the criticism. We've heard Andy Reid yesterday talk about it in his Monday press conference to the Zoom meeting press conference call. And you need to see that man also kind of be one of those guys that can also have a few moments where he can wreck a game, where maybe Bo Nix thinks he's comfortable to step in the pocket and kapow, there's 95. Or Bo Nix rolls out, thinks he's got a man open in the flat that could go for 20, 30 yards and up hands 95's hand, that we haven't seen those paws get on some dukes lately. That's what they call the football, by the way.
Right. Do you know why they call it that?
No.
Okay, it's named after Wellington Mara, who is the owner of the Giants. His nickname was Duke, and they named the football after him.
T-I-L. So That's another thing. I look at Mahomes to be the MVP of the offense in this game. I look at Chris Jones to be the MVP of the defense of this game because it is a domino effect when Chris Jones is playing the way that he can play. Makes the linebacker's job easier, makes the safeties and the corner's jobs easier, protecting the pass. And again, if you can get Bo Nix off his spot and get him to throw within 3 seconds, you are going to have a very successful day on defense.
It's hard for me to have confidence in Chris Jones right now because I just haven't seen it all year, you know, from Chris Jones. I want to go into this game and say, yeah, he's going to step it up and he's going to wreck it, but I'm sure there'll be some excuse, the altitude or whatever. You know, there's always some sort of excuse with why Chris Jones doesn't go out there and perform well. Oh, he was double teamed or blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of the excuses surrounding Chris Jones. It is time for your star to be a star, right? And yes, I am calling him out. And when he does become a star, I will celebrate it. And people will tell me I'm two-faced and all of that kind of stuff. You react to what's going on in front of you. And through the first 9 games of this season, Chris Jones has been a colossal no-show for this team. There's no other way to put it. It's time for Chris Jones to show up to work. It is time for Chris Jones to be that star, to be that leader on defense, to be that guy that's going to take over games, to be that guy that this organization needs on that defensive line to get them up over that hump and get them back into first place in the AFC West. And it all starts this week, man. Like, sorry, Chris, no more excuses, buddy. Like, get out there and dominate the line of scrimmage. Get out there and bust your ass. I don't want to hear that, oh, he doesn't have enough help or he doesn't have, you know, the ability to get through double teams and all this kind of stuff. Chris Jones has to go out there and be an effective player. No more excuses. No more occupying blocks. No more this. No more that. Start making plays. And it has to begin this weekend in Denver. Otherwise, this defense isn't going to stand a shot to go out there. You've got to get that pressure from your front four on this quarterback this week. And rough him up because you could probably knock him out of the game. He hasn't had success this year. Get him mentally checked out of the game. Let's go, Chris.
My counterpoint to all this about Chris Jones having to be the wrecker, and I understand he's one of the best defensive tackles coming into this year, that offensive line is no joke for Denver.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're ranked number one in allowed sacks, so they don't give up sacks to Bo Nix. So we're asking a defensive line who hasn't got pressure on quarterbacks all season now to go out there and do it against the best offensive line. I think that's a high task. I think if you're going to want an MVP, it's going to have to come from, I think, either your secondary or maybe a linebacker to step up to make some plays.
And again, that's why I bring up the point of, like, if you can't get to him, make your presence felt, put your hands up, knock it something down.
Right, exactly.
You can still pressure the quarterback. This doesn't make sense, but you can still pressure the quarterback without pressuring the quarterback.
Right.
And if you can keep his eyes at a level playing field and make him seem that he's comfortable, but make sure that you can wreck it other ways. Plus, like, if you are the best defensive tackle in football and you own that, then go beat the best offensive line. Go create havoc. Go create madness because, A, you're running out of time. You're 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
B, all eyes are on you. Shout out to Tupac. And 3, the other thing about this is that you have not been Chris Jones, and there's not a better time than to be Chris Jones
than right now
when you need to be Chris Jones.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, tough task, man. I mean, good luck.
Sorry, you signed up for this. You're taking the $30 million check.
Yeah, you got the game against Denver. I mean, or against the Raiders. You got your sack against the Raiders. We saw the audio on the franchise. I'm going to get my sack. George said he's going to get another one. Bring that energy to Denver. Bring that energy that you know that you're the better team, and bring that out to them. Because yes, the offensive line may not give up sacks, but the quarterback can then create sacks. If that makes sense.
Yeah, like if he holds the ball too long.
Bo Nix cannot read something, or they could, you know, Spags could stunt or do some sort of misread on the defensive line that could really confuse Bo Nix. Because I think one of the advantages you have in this game, having the rapport that you have on your defense, is the fact of the rapport that's coming out of Denver national media about Bo Nix. And plus, we got this little nugget yesterday that there's a chance J.K. Dobbins goes on the IR.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that J.K. Dobbins and Pat Surtain Jr. miss this game. And
you got to win that game.
If you don't have your number one running back, now I know RJ Harvey has been a solid player in the backfield for Denver. And, you know, the Chiefs typically don't give up a lot of rushing yards. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, because again, look, if you lose this game, you go to 5-5 and RJ Harvey has 125 yards and a touchdown, then by God, you're not a playoff team. And that's the realization that is. But if you go into this game knowing that your backs are against the wall, which we haven't really seen a whole lot of with the Mahomes and Andy Reid era, but your backs are against the wall. The scrutiny is there. You are the standard in the league, still, according to Vegas with odds, having the best odds with the Rams to win the Super Bowl or to get to the Super Bowl at least. You got to take advantage of that. And I think that's one of these games where, like, I think that you could see a guy like Chris Jones kind of be like, enough is enough, and it's time for a change, and I got to make something happen. And maybe that's something that awakes the sleeping giant. I would hope to see that, because if Mahomes is him and Chris Jones is him, we're talking on Monday about a team being 6-4 and getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts.
No doubt. And we're talking about a team that just wrecked the Denver Broncos, too. I mean, if Mahomes does what he does and Chris Jones does what we've seen him do in the past, this team will go out there and wreck Denver. But it's all predicated on your stars being stars and not being hero ball Mahomes, not doing things, you know, outside of yourself, doing things that we know that you can do, getting the ball to your playmakers, trusting in your offensive line, and let's go. Let's go out there and run the ball a little bit as well as we'd like to see. But, you know, it comes down to Chris Jones on defense, man. Go out there and do your job.
We'll get to Jay Binkley in about 10 minutes, but before we do that, we get to Bob's topic yesterday, because you remember yesterday, I don't want Mike Kafka. I want somebody with experience. I want a leader in the clubhouse to be a guy that can come in here. Yesterday, a name that we hadn't heard of in about 2 years has entered his name into the chat, and that is Mike McCarthy is going to be a candidate for the New York Giants job, we would think. Mm-hmm. He seems to have the odds on favorite according to certain places. I think this was on like Bleacher Report betting or whatever. You can have whatever you want. But it sounds like Big Mike might be in the conversation for the Giants job. Yay or nay on Mike McCarthy?
Yay, yeah. Okay. I may be the only guy in America that likes Mike McCarthy. You know, and nobody likes the guy, right? But when you're a struggling organization and you can hire a coach that's going to get you to 11-5, 10-7, all that kind of stuff, you know, have winning records and get you over the hump, that's what the Giants need. I mean, look, I think the Giants right now are in a very similar situation to what Kansas City was in, right? Oh, they are very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. Yeah, there's no question they're very vulnerable.
But they have a very attractive piece.
They have a very attractive piece. They got the New York market and they got Jackson Dart. And look, Kansas City, when they were in 2012, they needed an adult in the room. And I remember when they hired Andy Reid, I was like, God, I don't know if this is the right guy. Clearly, I was wrong. I mean, obviously, we've seen.
You wrong, though.
Everybody was wrong. Yeah, right? You know? Everybody was wrong
this
about
guy,
that.
This guy, did you see, I went in Philly? And yeah. Like, well, wait a minute, Philadelphia?
Okay. Yeah, and then he came here, and it's been, you know, it's been wonderful. And people said, it, you know, I remember when he took the job, the Philadelphia people were like, well, if you like 11-5, I'm like, well, we're 2-12 and or 2-14, and we just had an incident in the parking lot and all this. Like, yeah, I'll take 11-5 every day of the week. And I think that's kind of where the Giants are right now. You need that guy that is an adult in the room who has won a Super Bowl. And look, he did good things in Dallas as well. He just wasn't willing to continue to play Jerry's game, you know, down there. But he's worked with Aaron Rodgers. He's worked with Jordan Love. He's worked with Dak Prescott. You know, like, I think he worked with Jordan. He may have been gone by the time Jordan Love got there. But he was with, you know, obviously with Aaron Rodgers and all that kind of stuff. So he's worked with the young quarterbacks. He's turned, you know, young quarterbacks into good quarterbacks in this league. So I think Mike McCarthy would be a really good hire. I know he's not a sexy hire for a lot of people. And I know a lot of people just don't like him. But man, if you're just looking to win some games and get your organization back on that winning track, I mean, he's the Andy Reid of this coaching hire cycle, I believe.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you could, there's things that you could debunk with McCarthy's like past, right? Like there was the divorce in Green Bay, and it was basically the two narratives that came out of that was they didn't build an offense around Aaron, and he and Rodgers eventually kind of like just couldn't see eye to eye. McCarthy, obviously being an offensive-minded guy, has all that experience, and then he and Rodgers just had an ugly divorce. Then you go to Dallas, and you can debunk that theory as to, well, he got fired. Well, he went 10-6 in his last year in Dallas, I believe. And
they made the playoffs last year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Not last year. He wasn't their coach last
year. Yes, he was.
He was their coach last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't believe it because Dak got hurt all year last year and he was out. The year before, I think they made the playoffs. I'm pretty sure because I think Dak finished like top five in MVP in 2023. But you look at Dallas's job and you're like, okay, well, he took that job because he was hired, but also it was like the Jerry Jones effect of, hey, we're going to do things my way. We're going to have it happen this way. I don't want you to do this. I want you to play this guy. And it was just a mess. And now you have an opening in New York where I think that if you want to bring in a guy like Mike McCarthy,
they were 7-10 last year.
Didn't make it. It's 2 years. Ago.
Two years ago was the game where they tried to run that QB draw and they got the spike off.
Yeah.
The referee didn't touch the ball and everything.
Dax slid forward.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Cause last year, Dax, you remember they used the comparison of the chicken bone.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Chicken bone.
Cause it was on Thanksgiving. Wasn't it, when he did that. Yeah.
Brutal. So I think there's a way of both because, you know, you could say an adult in the room, but I think there's also been a track record of McCarthy not being an adult in that room. But again, you know.
Maybe. So is Aaron Rodgers, though.
Sure, and so is Jerry Jones.
Yeah, never been an exactly.
So I think that if you're going for a splash hire, I think his name would be there. I still like Lane Kiffin as an option, and I still like think want to see what Kafka can do with that offense and that team, because I think they will rally around a younger head coach. That seems to be kind of the move in the NFL. We look at all the new coach hires. They all seem to be the guys that you don't want to see in a situation like New York.
Yeah.
But again, Kafka been there since, I think, 2021. Been around the offense. He's got this. We'll see if he can handle it. Because here's the thing. It's not about what he can do on the field more so than whenever he does lose a game in a heartbreaking fashion and he goes and faces the New York media. And it's like, okay, Kafka, this is what you're going to deal with. And this is just like a microcosm of what could happen if this team is good and you do have a faltering situation. But again, Mike McCarthy, I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good bridge the gap guy.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
I don't think he has to be there for a long time, but I think he could be there to kind of stay. Yeah, I think he could establish that rapport. And then maybe, you know, in 3 years, then maybe it's Kafka's time. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see if he's even around that long. He was a popular candidate for a lot of jobs in the offseason. This one, he stuck with the Giants. Obviously, didn't get the job in New Orleans. Kellen Moore did. But yeah, I don't hate McCarthy for New York.
Yeah.
I think that he could help Jackson Dart. I still think
I would hate McCarthy for here. Like if Andy were to leave, then replace him with Mike McCarthy, I would hate that move here because that just doesn't make sense. The Giants have tried and tried and tried with no name head coaches. Like I said, they're on their eighth head coach now since Andy Reid has been hired with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's embarrassing. So they have tried all of these, you know, these guys that, you know, are hot young coordinators or names you never heard of and all that kind of stuff. I just think for where they are at this point in time, you need to go out there and you need to hire that established guy and bring credibility back to your franchise.
We'll see what happens. Coming up on the other side, we'll see what happens as we go off the rails with Jay Binkley on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tobacco, football, and booze. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
Oh, you better believe it, baby. I couldn't imagine a better song for a better guy. Still, every once in a while, I need you to send me this song so I can jam out to it in the garage.
Yeah, there's a good one, right?
Because this is a good, like, I feel like this is a good evening to sit out on the patio till the sun goes down at 4:45.
That's right.
And just chill, have a few, relax, and then maybe go see your Northern Lights, which apparently that's what everybody was talking to Jay Binkley about last night on the text line. Yeah. I don't know if that's the case because I got chili cheese Fritos, Busch Light, and Bink. We now are joined by Jay Binkley. What was going on last night on the text line? People asking about D-Picks and Northern Lights and chili cheese fries. What was going on with your show last night, Binkley?
Best man, we were talking about the Northern Lights. The text line was talking about that. They were trying to send me pictures.
Mm.
And I said, we can't get pictures here because if we could get pictures here, it wouldn't be a good thing. It'd be people's butts and middle fingers, you name it. So we can't get pictures on the text line. So they were wanting to send me pictures because I was talking about the Northern Lights. We talked about that, and we talked a little bit about chili. Mm. Obviously, we have a chili cook-off there at the station. I was talking about your great chili. I contacted my aunt, and I said, I'm going to try to make chili. I want you to send me exactly what I need.
Hell yeah.
I'll order it. Exactly what I need. They'll get it from Hy-Vee. They'll give it to me exactly what to do, because everything I do sucks. So I'm going to attempt to make this.
All right. Well, I am interested to see how that all turns out. Also, I was listening to your program last night, and you had mentioned something as you were talking about the draft and all this kind of stuff, and then somehow you got into like the waiver wire conversation, and you mentioned Calais Campbell as a name of somebody maybe that could potentially get, you know, released. Are you starting to look at the kind of the rosters of dudes that could get potentially released because of contract stuff late in the season, let them join a winner?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it. It's kind of what the Chiefs do. Like Terrell Suggs wanted one more chance, you know, to get that ring, and he was released by the Arizona Cardinals. Happens to be where Calais Campbell, that I thought might have a chance to get moved. I think Arizona had some false pretenses about how good that team is. They won against Dallas on that Monday night. They started to feel good about themselves, but then they have to look in the mirror and realize they're a big bundle of suck. They're the Arizona Cardinals. But Calais Campbell, 39 years old, one-year contract. Could we see it? And the one thing is, like, the Chiefs are now moving up. I mean, if there's one good thing about the record, it's where they sit in the waiver wire.
A lot of fans concerned about that.
What's that?
A lot of fans are excited about that, yes.
Well, the thing is, they were not excited about the trade deadline. I think the Chiefs handled that actually well, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But they were 31st in the waiver order before the season started because they used last year's records, and the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. But then after 3 weeks in the NFL season, it resets to what your current record is. So the Chiefs have moved down to 17th. They're 17th in the draft order now, so that means they're 17th in the waiver wire order, which is a good thing. I mean, if there's one good thing about the record, that's it. And the fact is, teams that are ahead of them in the waiver wire order probably aren't in position to add players. So essentially, the Chiefs would be there maybe fighting it out with a few teams for waiver wire pickups. But it's just out there as an option if they feel down the stretch there's a veteran player that wants that last chance of a ring that they could implement in this locker room. It's very tough to come into an Andy Reid team, both on offense or defense, and be able to play right away. That's what I was trying to remind people of. Yeah, they could make trades for these players, but it is not easy. You saw where they elevated Clyde against Buffalo instead of Elijah Mitchell because and Andy Reid said so because the familiarity with the offense, they trusted him in pass protection. Andy Reid and the Chiefs are big on loyalty, and not knowing the system or what your quarterback wants you to be in certain places, that stuff's huge. So it's got to be a special player, but they have moved up in the waiver wire order from being at the very bottom to now up to 17. That's kind of what I was talking about.
Binkley, is the Broncos a false prophet?
I think the Broncos are for real. And, well, I do. And, you know, listening when you guys had Mitch Holthus, as you guys do every Friday, he was talking about how it reminds them of the 2024 Chiefs. And I agree 100% with Mitch. I was looking, you know, at the numbers between the Broncos and the Chiefs. The Chiefs last year, you know, they were down some talent. We know that. They had to get injuries to key players, and that mattered. Is Mahomes better than Bo Nix? 100% so. But the bottom is, Denver's 13th in total offense. The Chiefs last year finished 17th. Okay, Denver is better at rushing the football this year significantly. The Chiefs are 22nd with the run last year. The only category the Chiefs haven't beat is four slots in passing the football. Points per game, Denver averages 23.5. 2024 Chiefs, 22.6. The Chiefs had five games where they scored less than 20 points last year. And we can throw the last one against Denver out because it didn't matter because they were playing backup players. But still, they had four other games they scored less than 20. They had 17 points they scored in a win against the Chargers, 16 points that the Chiefs scored in that win over Denver. They had two games with 16 points, but they had four games where they scored less than 20 points. And I get everybody's pointing to that Denver game that they played against the Raiders that was so close. But I just remind them, the Chiefs won games at the end. That was important for good teams. Good teams find a way to win. Bad teams, like the Raiders, find a way to lose. Just like this past week, they found a way to lose to Denver Broncos in a game that they actually probably could have won. It had been a huge upset. Then the week before, they lose in overtime to a very mediocre Jacksonville team. The bad teams find a way to lose. Denver doesn't. But statistically, they're very close to the Chiefs. And I get it. They had that 44-point game against the Cowboys this year. The Chiefs did not score over 30 points a game last year. Denver's already done it twice this year, and I get it. The Chiefs, there's times at the end of games they could have scored more than 30 points, but they were playing, you know, clock management towards the end of the game and didn't. They could have done it. They just didn't do it.
All right, so if you think Denver is legit, then what do you feel about the Kansas City Chiefs at this juncture right now? Because they've beaten themselves. They've lost a lot of one-score games. Like, do you not believe in the Chiefs at this moment?
No, I do. I think the Chiefs are a better team than Denver. There's times that just things haven't gone right towards the end, but I believe in the Chiefs. It's going to be a tough game. I mean, I'm looking at Denver, I'm thinking, you know, they're going to sit there and run bootlegs against the Chiefs because that's seemingly what works against the Chiefs. But I think top to bottom, the Chiefs having that bye week, Andy Reid 22-4 after a bye week, we know that. The one stat that's out there is Andy Reid is 3-4. He's 13-1 and he was with the Eagles after a bye week. He's 9-3 as a Chiefs coach after the bye week. Patrick Mahomes has only lost once after the bye week, and that was 2 years ago to Philadelphia. But Andy Reid is 3-4 after the bye week when both teams have a bye. Now, Denver didn't have necessarily a bye. They had a mini bye because they played on Thursday night. So a mini bye, just like the Chiefs are going to have after Thanksgiving against Dallas. I think the Chiefs are a better team, and I think these are two narrative games for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
If there's any two game slot, it's a narrative game. This is for the Chiefs with the perception of the Denver Broncos, the division on the line, and then playing everybody's Johnny-come-lately team in the Indianapolis Colts the following week. These are narrative games for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win this game. I do. And the Chiefs are very good against this division. Coming into this year, the Chiefs, in the last decade, the Chiefs are 17-3 against the Chargers, 17-3 against the Raiders, 17-3 against the Denver Broncos. Obviously, they beat the Raiders this year. Now they're 18-3, 17-4 against the Chargers because they lost that first game. But yeah, I believe in the Chiefs, and I think they want to shut people up. And this is the ultimate shut-up game. If you want to shut everybody up because they were dogging the Chiefs, the dynasty's over early in the season, when they were losing early in the year, Mahomes is done, you know, all the crap that we heard, then all of a sudden they were back on their bandwagon. Vegas still believes in the Chiefs. And I think people want to, but they're very mixed nationally, because at first they didn't believe in them. Then they started believing them. Now they're kind of in that mediocre land where they don't know if they're good or bad. So this is a chance to shut them up. But yes, I do think the Chiefs get this win. And I do think you go back to 2015. That's the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. The Chiefs went to 4-5 after beating the Broncos 29-13 in the year that Denver won the Super Bowl. Denver won the first game. Chiefs won the second game, but that's when they were climbing out of being 1-5 when they ended up making the postseason. So they beat Denver to kind of propel themselves through the year. They ended up going at 4-5 at that point, but that propelled them for how good they were the rest of that year.
Binkley, you don't believe in the Colts. Who do you believe is the best team in the football world?
I still think it's the Eagles, and I know, you know, these wild games, and Nick Sirianni, I have no idea what the hell he was doing at the end of that game. But they still win. And the bottom line, they do, and the champions from last year. I'm not buying into the Colts. I know everybody is, and, you know, in the mornings, you're sitting there watching NFL Network or ESPN Live, and yeah, all these power rankings that don't mean anything, but people like to do them. I like to do them. But the Colts are the team to beat, everybody says, and I'm sitting here, why? Why should the Colts be the team to beat? Daniel Jones. It's Daniel Jones. They're building this team around Daniel Jones. They trade two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. Really? This guy's had 7 turnovers the last 2 games. He had 3 interceptions 2 weeks ago against the Steelers in a game they lost. That's the number 32 pass defense in the NFL. And you saw how bad the Steelers were against the Chargers the other night. He had 3 fumbles in that game. He lost 2 of them. This past week, when he struggled against the Atlanta Falcons to get the win, they finally did in overtime, but he had an interception, and he had 2 fumbles, and he lost 1 of them, so he's had 7 turnovers in the last 2 weeks. Yes, Jonathan Taylor is the truth. Tyler Warren is the truth at tight end. I'm going to wait and see with the Colts. If they come in the Arrowhead and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, 100% totally believe in the Colts. But if they come in here and get their ass rolled, it's back to being a Johnny-come-lately.
All right, Bink. Mendoza's the Heisman, and that was the greatest catch you've ever seen in college football, I would have to assume.
Man, it was just insane. I remember, you know, texting back and forth with Uno Cero from the station there about, all right, this is our chance. Because we've been wanting to see this. We've been talking about, you know, quarterbacks this upcoming draft. And clearly the NFL scouts and executives, ESPN puts a poll out and just doesn't use media, uses scouts and executives. And they all had the number one quarterback going into the season as Lenoir Sellers at South Carolina. They had Garrett Nussmeier, ooh, too. My, all things have changed. Nussmeier gets benched in this game, yep, and all of a sudden, Fernando Mendoza has the most votes that came out last week to be the top quarterback selected by NFL executives and scouts. So, wanted to see what happens, because Indiana's been going out and 50-balling teams lately. What could happen when the chips are on the line and that team and that record, and they're facing adversity? What could he do? And Fernando Mendoza let him down and threw a crazy ball to Omar Cooper with an insane football catch where Gus Johnson loses his mind. But that was his moment. I mean, that was the moment you wanted to see. What's going to happen? Can he lead that team down to a win? Because they've got a great running game. They've got a great defense. Can Fernando Mendoza do it? And he did it. What a great freaking catch. That is an unbelievable catch. Best catch of the year by far, in my opinion.
All right, Bink, we'll see you in a couple hours, or actually we'll see you in a couple minutes.
Are you in the parking lot?
You know what? I am. I'm ready for the chili cook-off. I'm actually sitting in the kitchen.
I bet you are, man. I bet you are. You'll have to let us know all about it. We'll talk to you here in about...
Did you bring your chili dust, man?
No. I got things to do today, man. I'm sorry. I only give special.
You were making odds on favor, man. You're the betting favorite.
You know, I only give special people my chili. You know what I mean? So.
I feel you, but you were the betting favorite. So we'll just have to be disappointed on that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Binkley. We'll see you in a little bit.
Hey, you guys take care. Bye.
He is in the parking
lot. No, he is. Has to be.
Yeah. Some amazing news was just announced via NFL and everybody that follows it. Plus, Bob will tell you why you're lucky to have Andy Reid on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.